Welcome to the Mainland Podcast. This is episode number 109, and I am Michael Citro, the founder and managing editor of themainland.com. We cover all things Orlando City, Orlando Pride, Orlando City B, as long as there is one. And joining me is the Mainland writer, David Rowe. Dave, how you doing this week?
Glad that I'm both sad and happy that the season is done. Sad because, of course, I love watching soccer, and happy in that I don't have to watch the Lions lose anymore. So that's, you know, little yang thing going on.
Yes, that was my thing on Sunday was 60 minutes, and then the Lions can't hurt us anymore this season. 45 minutes, and the Lions can't hurt us anymore this season. It was a very painful end to the season. Jason Christ came out on Sunday with a very interesting player selection, and a lot of people were waiting, Dave, to see some of these backups get a start, get more time. We saw PC on the back line, another look for Leo Pereira. We had Richie Larea getting his first MLS start. We had Carlos Rivas get a start because Kyle Larin had a hip flexor / I want to go to Europe going on.
And Earl Edwards Jr.
Earl Edwards Jr. as Bendick picked up a concussion or I don't want to play in Philly. I don't know. Kaká decided not to play in Philly. So it was a very strange lineup for the final game. But it was interesting because you were like, the possibilities are endless. But my line in our chat room was, we're going to lose 5-0. And boy, were we close to that. And
you were close to that in the first half.
Yeah, it was bad. It was already, 4-0 at the half?
4-0 at the half.
And it was really stupid because Philadelphia got out to a flying 2-0 start right off the bat, and it was ugly, and it was the kind of thing that you know they jumped out because they were ready to go, and our guys were not ready to go. Orlando City it took them a while to get going, but I thought they did a pretty good job of getting back in the game and getting some possession and getting some scoring chances. And I'm sure Philadelphia was laying back a little more after getting the two quick goals. But at that point in the game, they hadn't completely called off the dogs or anything. They certainly weren't parking the bus. So it was a good opportunity to get back in the game, Dave. But no, they could not find a way to beat Andre Blake. Really good chance for Dom Dwyer very early on a header that he could have literally put it 6 inches on either side and probably scored at least, Blake might have got a piece, but it probably still would have went in. But it was just one of those games, really.
He could have put it 6 inches to the left or 6 feet to the right and it would have gone in. It just, you're right. It was one of those games. And you're right, though. They did settle down after going down 2-0 and did get some possession and start making some passes. And you're also right. Blake was excellent that evening. He stopped all but one, and there wasn't much that seemingly that Orlando could do about it. You mentioned that, of course, we had a lot of some guys making their first start. We had guys coming back out. Mm-hmm. We had a new format. I mean, they went out in a 4-4-3.
4-4-3-3.
4-4-3.
I wish they would have been in a 4-4-3 because
that would have been extra man. Yeah, that would have been nice. Yeah, everybody will have to excuse me tonight. I just got off the road, so I might be a little loopy.
Well, we would have had an ineligible player, and we would have had to pay approximately $75,000 in allocation money for that.
Well, only because we're Orlando City. If we were another team, then we wouldn't have had to.
Yeah, well, from that point on, it was just a matter of Philly hitting on the counter, and it was, when you're trying to get back in the game and you're pressing and you got guys up high, they sometimes get caught. And when they get caught and you've got a speedy forward taking the ball around Seb Hines, who we all know doesn't have the pace most center backs are going to lose a foot race from the center line back to their own box. But Seb's a step slower than a lot of center backs, so it makes it even worse. But it was just not good at all. And, before you knew it, the game was just completely out of hand. And at the half, Jason Kreis tried some changes. He put in Tommy Redding in place of Seb, although quite honestly, Leo Pereira was really, really bad at the beginning of that game. A lot of ball watching, a lot of not really marking anyone as crosses came into the box. PC was basically, all right, let's just call it what it is. He was useless. PC was useless in that game. That was the worst I've seen him in an MLS game. We have seen him pretty bad in some USL games this year, in which, you know, I don't know if it's just the attitude of I don't want to be in the USL or if it was just playing with unfamiliar players. And again, that could have been the situation. But when you put two new players on the same side of the defense on the road against a team that, okay, Philly has a crap record, just like us, but they have a good home record and a better home record than Orlando, in fact. And they've got some players, and they wanted to play hard for Brian Carroll. It was his last game before retiring. You know, he's been a very faithful servant for several Major League Soccer franchises, including the Union for the last few years. And, you know, it was just ugly early, and it just never got better. And, we just watched a complete meltdown. Dom pulled one back, so that was nice to see. It was good to see that it wasn't a shutout. We have been shut out at Philadelphia on the final day of the regular season before, but that was not going to happen because Dom effing Dwyer scores when he wants. We just wish he wanted to all the time.
he didn't want to score enough that night, evidently.
He wanted to score.
One goal.
Yeah, he wanted to score one. So he got a goal off a Yoshimar Yotun set piece. And Yoshi was a little off in terms of what we normally see in his passing quality. But again,
Which makes him the second best player on the field that night for Orlando City. Yeah, an off night for him.
Yeah, he played with, again, some unfamiliar teammates. Dylan Powers, I didn't mention him. He got the start. You had some new guys. And anyway, at the end of the day, it was a 6-1 drubbing, the worst loss in franchise history. And it really kind of it took me by surprise that there was so much hatred and anger spewed forth. I kind of looked at the team sheet and went, okay, you got to get a look at these guys, but this is not going to be a pretty finale. This is not going to be a pretty final score. And I saw a lot of heat on Twitter and in our comments. And to me, it was surprising because I don't know what folks were expecting. I mean, the season's lost anyway. They were going to on the road with a bunch of people that don't play much. And, a keeper that hasn't played at all in MLS games. And, you know, it just didn't ever seem like it was going to be a game that Orlando City was going to take any points from. It would have been pretty a pretty big upset if they even came home with one. So all of this venom that I saw was, you know, I'm sure pent up from the entire season.
Sure.
And just came to a head. But it was like there's nothing. It didn't change anything. That 6-1 loss changed nothing, Dave. Jason Kreis is still going to be the coach of this team heading into 2018 unless, the club drastically backtracks on what they've said in the past. And, of course, if they do that, then we're starting over from square one. So nobody should expect anything out of 2018. And if you hate Jason Kreis and you say, well, if he's the coach, I don't expect anything out of 2018. Fine. Then if he doesn't produce and he gets fired, then, hey, you were right and you got nothing out of 2018. But if he comes through and make a few moves and get the right bodies in there and maybe sustain that hot start that the team had in 2017, then, things could change and turn around. But, people like to point to Atlanta and New York City and say, look how quickly it can be done. But, I mean, you're talking about money. You're talking about advantages these two clubs have certainly got advantages that other clubs haven't gotten. You want to know what the sad reality of MLS is as an expansion team? Look at Minnesota. That's the norm. That's the average. That's what typically happens.
Right.
Toronto is the best team in the league. And, Dave, I don't know how many years it took them to reach the playoffs, but it took, what, seven? Something
took a
like
while.
That. And
they had to have Giovinco and Altidore up front to do it. So
yeah, they brought in Bradley and Altidore. I mean, teams can make quick strides, but you have to bring in the right people at the right time, and sometimes
with the right coach and in the right system.
Yeah, sometimes you can bring in the right player at the wrong time, or you can, you know, bring in the right player but the wrong system, or, you know, there's all kinds of things. Minnesota didn't bring in Demidov thinking he was going to be the worst center back that anyone in MLS had ever seen. I mean, he was not a cheap player. I mean, they thought fairly highly of him, and he was just a mess, but things didn't work out. So anyway, Dave, I think we put a bow on this.
Well, I do want to say one more thing. You were wrong. The game did change one thing.
Draft selection.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, we get a better draft pick when we go up to Philadelphia for the MLS Super Draft in 2018. So
finding the silver lining.
So we got that going for us, which is nice. But put a bow on this big dumpster fire of a season for 2017, and pick your man of the match for the 6-1 loss at Philadelphia.
Well, there's really only one choice. It's got to be Dom effing Dwyer for scoring a goal and for being Dom. I mean, even in the losing effort, Dom's always going to try. So he had, he should have had two. He got one, and, I thought he had the usual hustle that he has. So, it's got to be Dom.
Yeah, I thought he played hard for the most part. I thought he certainly had some opportunities to score. He did score the one goal. It really came down to him and Yotun for me. And so I'll give it to Dom because he gave us the one moment to be happy about in otherwise just miserable 90 minutes of soccer. Of soccer-like substance, anyway.
Exactly.
All right, so that's it. We don't have to talk about these guys anymore.
Well, aren't we going to have to talk about the friendly in a month?
Yeah, but that's the next show.
Oh, okay, yeah. Right.
No, we will talk more about this team because we're gonna do our annual Stays Goes in just a little bit. We'll do that in just a little bit. First, Dave, I want to talk about a little bit about the Orlando Pride, who had a... They are the pride of Orlando soccer, by the way. They were a playoff team, the third seed, had a very nice run this year, and gave us lots of great moments to cheer for. And the Orlando Pride are sending four players, should have been five, but four players over to the W League in Australia to play in the offseason on loan. Alana Kennedy and Steph Catley, of course, Australian internationals, both of them, and they're both playing for Melbourne City. Both of them, Dave, have had new contract offers from the club, and so we're crossing our fingers and our toes and hoping that those two Australians will sign that deal and be back in a Pride uniform next year. And also Tony Presley going over there to play for Canberra, who I believe were the Shield winners last year. They don't call it the Shield there, but they were the Shield winners last year.
The equivalent of the Shield winners.
I think they call it the National, I want to say.
Okay.
So, I don't know. They're odd down under, but they got great food and music and beer. So.
Yeah, they got good beer.
And rookie Rachel Hill is going to the Perth Glory, and she would have been a teammate of Camilla, as I understand it, but Camilla, of course, injured in the regular season finale at North Carolina Courage. So all of those players, good luck to them all. May you all come back fit and in form and healthy.
Yep.
And we'll be watching you with great interest from all the way over here in the United States. We will not stay up really late and watch your games, but we will check the internet for the score.
Or if, you know, you got a little insomnia one night, you know, pull up, find Aussie TV on your computer and see if you can't find the match.
Yeah.
Sure, it's got to be there somewhere.
Yeah, and also big news, the Brazilians, they won their Four Nations tournament down in, where is it, China? And they Marta scored four goals in that tournament.
Well, not really a surprise.
Marta's good.
Marta's good.
She's good at sports.
She good at soccer.
Yeah, she good at soccer. I bet she'd be good at just about anything.
I'll go along with that.
Very, very determined individual, and it's just been freaking incredible to watch her play this past year. And I'm hoping that she rides it out and plays in Orlando for the rest of her career because she's been just amazing.
It's been fantastic watching her. The only thing that she can't do is she can't hit a drone with a soccer ball the way that Alex Morgan can. Other than that, she's fantastic.
Wow, you're talking about the
that little video. If you go back and it was cool. In one of the Lion Links, go find it.
Yeah. So that was fun to see. That was different. That was something that you don't see every day.
No.
All right. So as we talked about, Dave, it is the end of the season. We will be, as a programming note, we will be going to monthly mainland podcast. I almost said Lion Links there. I don't know why I did that. But the mainland podcast will be going to our off-season monthly schedule. We will have maybe some brief versions of the podcast come out if something warrants an extra show. We'll reconvene and we'll discuss whatever the big news is. But for now, we are planning to go monthly. I think the plan is now is to do it early in the month, each month, but that could change because what we want to do is we want to get some really good guests, and it may be dependent on when we can get them. People like, we had Jason Kreis in the offseason last year and that kind of thing. So some of the people that we would like to talk to do quite a bit of traveling this time of year, so we'll just have to fit it in as best we can. But yes, we will have one per month until the season resumes. So... We'll have our mainline podcast mailbag coming up in just a bit. But, Dave, it's time to play Stays or Goes. This is,
woo! Do we have theme music for that?
No, we have no theme music.
Dang it.
I edit this thing, so I don't want to have to do extra stuff.
Okay.
Extra stuff sucks. Right. Especially now. We're recording a little later than we normally do, both in the week and in the evening. So, what we do, if you're new to the Mainland Podcast, this is how we do this thing. We just run through the entire MLS roster for Orlando City. These are not all guys that played in Orlando City. Some played with OCB. There's guys out on loan, that kind of thing. But we will go through each and every one of them, and we will both take our turns predicting whether or not they are going to stay or whether or not, or they're going to go. It's basically pretty easy. Stays or goes. It's not rocket science. Why am I explaining this, Dave?
Well, it's really mainly for us, not the listeners. Yeah. It's so that I know what's going on.
Okay.
Really.
So they know, and it's just good to remind ourselves every once in a while.
Correct.
But yeah, we have no preview for the Puerto Rico friendly, by the way. We know nothing about their team, and it's a friendly. We do know it's the last time we'll see Kaká in purple, unless something weird happens. So
there you go. There's your preview.
Yeah, there's our entire preview right there. All right, Dave. We'll start with Uruguayan defender Jose Aja. Does he stay? Is he a member of Orlando City Soccer Club next year, or is he gone?
I'm going to go with go gone. I don't think Jose makes it back. And the reason I say that is he hasn't really made the field much recently. And I think when you're looking at the Jason Kreis experiment, that was the last match of the season. So, I think Jose is gone.
24-year-old defender, center back. He's 6'4", good in the air, and I think he's gone too. I think he's a guy that I would not have said that about a month ago, maybe. But he has got to be in Jason Kreis's doghouse in some major way because this team does not have a lot of great depth at center back, apparently, as we've seen, because when Spector went down. But Jose has not even made the 18, Dave, in a while, and he's been healthy. So that tells me doghouse, because you don't just scratch a guy who was your starter for the first month of the season, when he's healthy, unless the writing is firmly on the wall. And so I would expect Mr. Aja to be moving along, which is it's kind of sad, because I think at 24 and with his with some of the skills that we've seen from him, I think he could really still develop into something good, but I don't think it'll be here.
Nope.
All right, Dave, this one should be a pretty easy one. We're talking about a 29-year-old fullback who played zero games with Orlando City in 2017. He did play quite a few games for OCB. Kevin Alston.
Such a tough one. Yeah, no. As much as I like Kevin, he is also going to be gone. If you're going to get rid of a 6'4 defender who's only 24, you're definitely going to get rid of a guy that's my height and is 29 years old. So, yeah.
Yeah, but he's not a center back. You don't have to be tall when you're a center back.
Yeah, still.
He's 5'8", but, you know, there's a lot of short guys playing fullback, including PC. We'll get to him in a bit. Yeah, I think Kevin Alston is gone. I think it's kind of interesting that they re-signed him. I'm sure they did it for depth purposes, but he didn't even get a whiff this year at all. There were games where he was on the bench for OCB. So clearly not in the club's future plans at age 29, and really didn't make too much of an impact this year, as he didn't play any MLS games at all. So he gone. We will move on to Giles Barnes, the man who, by the way, Dave, as we all knew, would lead Orlando City in games played this year with an appearance in every single match.
You know what? He got thrown out of Disney, but I don't think he gets thrown out of Orlando City. I think that we have Mr. Barnes here next year.
The thing about Giles Barnes is... I am going to put a big qualifier on my answer here.
Okay.
I think he returns if he takes a pay cut.
Okay.
I do not see him staying on at the current price tag. He makes a lot of money, and he doesn't produce a lot of goals. He does give the team something that it doesn't have in other players, in that he plays with the ball at his feet. He doesn't, he's able to take on defenders. He is able to, hold on to the ball. And that's something that not a lot of the players on the club can do. He's also very versatile. He can play forward. He can play on the wing. He can play in the number 10 role. There are different things that he can do. So he does offer you some versatility. I think he's a good team guy. And I think the teammates, his teammates like him. I think Jason Christ likes him. And I just think everybody likes him except the guy at the bar in Epcot Center. we weren't there, so we only can go with what they're saying, that he cut in line. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. But I will say that, again, Giles is going to be gone unless he takes a pay cut. I do believe that his contract's up this year, so that will be renegotiated.
Yeah, well, I was basing that off of I think that Jason likes him.
Yeah, I think he does.
And not just likes him, but I think he likes him as a player and what he brings. And I'm going to that they may be able to come to terms.
All right. Haji Berry is a guy who is an interesting guy, because he has played sparingly in MLS for the last couple of years. He's very good at the USL level. In fact, led OCB in goals. And, probably you could say that OCB makes the playoffs if he is off the senior team bench more and is with the OCB club more. Haji Berry, what do you think?
That's a tough one. My initial inclination is to say that he stays. That's kind of contingent on what's going on with OCB, though.
Yeah, I think he stays, and I think he gets loaned out if he's not in the plans to be with the senior club. I think he's 24 years old, still has some
right.
some room for growth. He showed some flashes. He definitely has to get a better first touch. He has to become a better passer and maybe read the game a little bit better. But I think you don't give up on a 24-year-old with goal-scoring ability, especially when you're a team that's challenged for scoring. So
right.
I think Haji stays. Whether or not he plays MLS games, I don't know. He could be loaned to OCB if it's still around, and the club
right.
says that the club was kind of cagey and saying they're committed to the USL for 2018, but they didn't say they're committed to having OCB in the USL in 2018. So it's kind of anybody's guess what they're going to do at this point. If they come back as OCB, Haji's probably going to spend the bulk of the year there. If they don't, they loan him out
to whoever that we are working with. Exactly. Yeah.
All right. Concussion boy, Joe Bendick.
Joe will be back. Joe would have been there this weekend if not for concussion protocols. So, and we saw what happened when Joe wasn't there. So, I mean, he prior to decision day, he led the entire MLS with 118 saves. You don't let a keeper like that go. So yeah, that's we could have skipped over that. The audience could have just guessed that one.
Yeah, if the goals against don't go up, I could take him. I would definitely take him making half that many saves next year. Means they're not giving up as many shots. Yeah, Joe's back next year. I think he signed. I think it was a 3-year deal. I don't remember if they gave us the terms. They definitely said it was a multi-year deal. So he took a pretty affordable amount of money for some stability. So I think he's shown that he's committed to this club, and I think the club is going to reward him, and he's definitely going to be back next year.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Servando Carrasco.
Interesting one. Man. All right. I say that he does come back. I think Jason likes him, just doesn't like him as a starter. I think he likes him on the bench. Mm-hmm. And I think that they'll make it happen to make sure that Alex and their family are happy.
I would say Servando is back. I don't think that the Alex Morgan thing comes into it at all at this point, because it would not be difficult to move Servando probably if they wanted to. But I think Servando, what he gives you is he gives you a veteran player with a lot of game experience that you can bring off the bench. He's very affordable. This is a salary cap league, and I think a lot of people really kind of lose sight of that when they think right. about when they say, fire everybody. I mean, I don't know how many times I saw we put our thing out about, which players might be back and which one will be gone next year. And, people were just very cynically and very angrily saying that they should all be gone. And that's just not realistic. And, you have to have some role players. And I think Servando is one of those role players at a decent price. And I really don't think the Alex Morgan thing comes into play, even though other people do. And
well,
I know you were
I was
joking
tongue in cheek there. Yeah,
yeah, you were joking, but I know there are people that don't joke and they say, well, they can't get rid of him because Alex won't stand for it.
No, of
but
course not.
I don't
not.
Know I mean... if you've noticed this, but this is a pretty good Pride team, and I think there's a pretty good striker out there that could potentially take Alex Morgan's place. If she decided that she was angry because Servando got traded.
There's a pretty decent player on the men's team that is married to somebody else on another women's team that is not the Orlando Pride. So this is not something that they worry about.
That's kind of what I was alluding to. So yeah. Anyway, there are other options out there for the Pride. So I don't think it's a big deal. And I don't, they knew what they were getting into when they got married, that very, very few of these married couples get to live in the same city with their spouse if they're both professional athletes. Look at the Ertzes. One plays in Philadelphia, one plays in Chicago. So it can work. And in fact, all of these players made it work in the past. So I'm sure their preference would like be in the same city, but I don't think it's a make or break thing, especially at this point. But Servando,
Servando off the bench is he's a very good, affordable. Experienced option coming off the bench.
Yeah, and the versatility to play a few different spots. So that's all right. This one's a no-brainer. Pierre Da Silva.
Pierre Da Silva is back, baby. That's a absolute no-brainer. He's one of the 19-year-olds that they kept other 19-year-olds for OCB, but the flashes of brilliance that we've seen down at USL. He is one of those guys that they are definitely targeting to groom to move into the MLS squad, and they're not going to let him go.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's back unless somebody makes a really good offer for him and they think that it's worth passing him up for. But I think Pierre is back. I don't agree with everybody that says he should have been playing MLS games this year, because I've seen enough of OCB to know there are holes in his game that he still needs to work on. But
sure.
He is certainly has a lot of potential. So I'm looking forward to seeing Pierre's continued development. He's only 19, folks. Be patient. All right, here's an interesting name, because I think I've been pretty high on this guy in the past, and I think that time has passed. And unfortunately, I think part of it is a massive injury from 2015. That's Connor Donovan, who spent the whole year with OCB.
I'm going to say Connor's gone, and one of the reasons isn't his Generation Adidas contract up after this year?
Yes, I believe it is. I believe he and Kyle came in at the same time. I think The club may own some options on him, though, so I wouldn't say that it's necessarily a contract-related thing.
No, but it doesn't help. So that and, yeah, unfortunately, you know, if he and Kyle come in at the same time, and we know what Kyle's done, for those of you who are not familiar with who Connor Donovan is, well, there's your answer.
Yeah. Connor is a center back who at one point was ahead of Tommy Redding in the rotation, and he was actually playing quite well. In 2015, he was the next man up after the two starters, and he got his first start against those same Philadelphia Union, and he suffered a pretty nasty knee injury early in that game in his first start. And so Tommy Redding got his first game in MLS that night. And so it was sad because Connor, I don't think, has really gotten the explosion back in his leg since that injury. And it's, you know, we're far enough removed that you could probably say that maybe he'll never get that range of movement completely back. But I think that he has struggled with that a bit at times. And no, the OCB, he'd have long stretches where he looked really, really good, but he had have also games like not the Tampa game, the New York Red Bulls 2 game, where he just really looked bad.
Right.
And I think that he's still a young guy. He's only 21, but I do think that the team will move on from him this year, and we'll see. I mean, I think he's still a guy that they can bring back because, again, he's under MLS contract, and I'm sure he's probably got a pair of like 1 year options for the club. But I just think that at this point they'll probably close the door on that one.
Yeah.
All right. We know there's another year on this guy's contract. Dom Dwyer.
I'm gonna go out on a limb here and say that Dom Dwyer returns, and he is indeed back next year. I'm not really worried about that. I'm feeling pretty. I said out on a limb. Obviously, I was joking. I'm pretty feeling pretty good about that one.
Yeah, he's back. Dom's back. Earl Edwards Jr. I want to point out something about Earl Edwards Jr. He gave up 6 goals on Sunday, and I think there was maybe one of them he could have stopped.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just how badly the whole team got torched.
Well, all right. So the thing about Earl, that match was. Look who was in front of him. so, you know, he got left hanging. He was left hanging out to dry, you know, a little bit there. So, and you know, when we saw his potential and how he utterly, you know, dominated at USL and was one of the better goalies there. So, and besides that, okay, so you got to have X amount of goalies, and I think with his age, his potential, that you know he's one that they will feel comfortable keeping around to, you know, provide that backstop.
Mm-hmm. I think Earl's back. I don't think there's any question about that. I think he's probably the backup next year. We'll get to Josh Saunders down when we get down to the bottom of the alphabet, but he's a 25-year-old keeper. He's just hitting his prime years, really. He was amazing for OCB in 2017, just absolutely one of the dominating players in the USL this year, and never really got a chance in MLS to show what he could do. And hopefully the fans that do not watch OCB don't look at that game Sunday as a reflection on his talent and his ability, because he's much better than what you saw that night. And in his last game in the USL also was another one of those aberrations, because it was one of those games where they really wanted to win, so they threw a bunch of MLS players in there. And I think it really kind of disrupted what that team had going. I think that the rhythm and the chemistry that team had was really, really wrecked by that. And he kind of faced the brunt of that because, again, that was a game that PC started and was not very good. And he was playing next to Connor Donovan, who also had a howler of a game. So those two guys next to each other were not doing Edwards any favors. So his last two games were kind of a mess, but definitely not indicative of how he played all year.
So, not at all.
All right. Next, I think another easy decision, a guy who was the only player on the roster loaned out outside the U.S. all year, Devron Garcia.
So an international player loaned out. Goodbye. He's gone.
They can't wait to get rid of him, I think.
once again, for those of you who have never heard of Devron Garcia, that's why.
Yeah, he was last year he was bad for OCB. This year he got loaned to Real España, I believe. And I didn't really keep up with him, but I don't think he's in the plans of this club.
No.
23-year-old fullback Victor PC Giro.
Giro is gone. If you want to know why, go rewatch the Philly game. And I don't recommend anybody go rewatch the Philly game because it's painful enough to watch it once. But that, PC, for all the hype and whatever else he had when he came in, just it never developed here for whatever reason. And the apex of that was this past weekend. So, yeah, no doubt in my mind he's not here next year.
I am 50-50, Dave, on Victor PC Giro. PC really? Is 23 years old and very, very inexpensive. He does carry an international roster slot, which is something that is a drawback against him. I don't know what the length of his deal was, but I could see them holding on to him. He did show some flashes this year, but, of course, at the end of the year when he had been sitting and not getting playing time, it's really a lot to ask of someone to throw them out there in unfamiliar situations and hoping that they can take care of business. Now, if he's a veteran player, you know, those guys usually can slot in and at least hold their own. But young guys, that's a little bit tougher, especially when he's, you know, his main gig the last couple of years has been the NASL. So
I guess it really depends on what Jason saw during that game.
Yeah, and I don't even think it really comes down to that game.
Or practice. And
yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I think he's one that I will keep an eye on this offseason because I think it could go either way.
I was going to say, what's your actual call here?
I would say my call is going to be that he stays, but I also think that left back is going to be addressed in the offseason. I think that they'll try to bring in somebody. And if they do, I think they keep Donny Toya as the backup and send Victor PC Giro on their way.
Okay.
On his way. All right, here's another. This one I think is going to be a very difficult call. At least it is for me. I know what I want to happen, but I don't know what will happen. So you tell me what you think the club does, stays or goes, Christian Higuita.
You are right. That is a tough one. I'm going to go. I think he's shown enough, and this is going to sound really weird for Higuita. I think he showed enough consistency in the second half of the season that I think he impressed Jason enough that he keeps him. I'm not saying he's going to start, depending on, you know, what the acquisitions are, but I think he stays.
Yeah, I would like to see Christian Higuita stay. I think that he... When he was playing that left wing in the diamond, he was not my favorite player. That is not a good spot for him, and he was visibly showing difficulty and frustration in playing that position. He is a defensive-minded player. He is not a player that gets forward a lot and does a lot of things. He's in that six role. He's very good at it. He's a good destroyer, and I think he's worth keeping around. I hope they keep him, and I think they will. But I could definitely see them selling him if they get a good offer for him.
Sure, but, you know, that's obviously we're doing this based on not knowing what moves will be made.
Right.
You know, for just as things are, I think he stays.
Yeah, I think that he'll stay, but I certainly think that the club will be listening to those offers. Okay, so we are now at defender Seb Hines.
Whew. As much as I would like Seb to stay, I think that one of the big things that's going to happen, and I, even though I just said not to take this into account, I think they're going to address other issues at 29, and with his pace, I think that we will not see Seb back next year.
Yeah, I would be surprised to see Seb back. I think that he's, you know, if being a nice guy made you a great player, he'd be the best player on the team. He's
without a doubt
really sweet guy. Really enjoyed talking to Seb. And, you know, I don't think anybody worked as hard and was as good of a soldier for the team this year as Seb was. Seb went down to OCB, played almost the entire year there, never complained, looked at it as an opportunity to teach young guys, to show that, you know, what he could do, to get healthy after that knee operation. And I thought that he played very, very well in the USL. I think he earned his opportunity with the MLS side. And I think until that Philadelphia game,
he did pretty well.
He had come up and provided the best option to pair with Spectre that we saw in the last couple months of the season.
Well, and that's the key there is pairing with Spectre.
Yeah, and I think that you can't have two slow center backs, and Spectre doesn't have a great deal of pace, but he definitely moves better than Seb. I think that the club shops for a top-class center back this year, and I think Seb is the casualty, and I expect that Tommy will probably be kept on as that backup. So I've already tipped my hand there for Tommy, but anyway, I think Seb's gone.
And we wish him well wherever he goes, because like you said, just fantastic guy, teammate, etc.
Tremendous guy. And in fact, if OCB does come back and Lewis Neal is not a player coach next year, I would really like Seb to be a player coach.
Absolutely.
So that could happen. Well, you never know. All right, the next guy, we know he's gone. Kaká.
I'm going to say gone.
Yeah, let's take the W here. He's gone.
Yeah, no matter what happens, we got one right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Here's a difficult one. Will Johnson.
Whew, that is a difficult one. I've actually been thinking about this, knowing that we were going to do this for the last couple of days, and I'm going to say he stays. And the reason that I say that is, you know, we talked about this previously where, you know, there were multiple investigations where things have been looked into. And he, you know, there was one point where you and I both said, we will never see him in purple again.
Yeah.
We were wrong. And
We were both wrong.
And he was back. And then he, not only was he back, but he played. And I think the main reason we didn't see him in Philly had more to do with Jason wanting to see what he had with other people.
No, we didn't see him in Philly because he was suspended for yellow card accumulation.
Oh, right. Well, yeah. Okay, sorry. But anyway, regardless, I think Will is back. I think Jason likes what he brings to the field. I understand that there might be off the field this or that distractions. I'm not even talking about Will doing anything off the field, just the PR, whatever goes along with it. But I've been back and forth in my head a lot with this one, and I keep coming back to that he'll be back next year. Whether he stays all time or not, I don't know. But I say he's in purple at the beginning of the next season.
Yeah, this was a difficult one for me because, again, I'm not sure. I know. I was surprised that there weren't a lot more boos based on the reaction I saw on social media to him being reinstated. There were some boos, but there were, you know, it wasn't like an overwhelming thing like I thought it would be. You and I were not there the night that the stuff went down that he got arrested for. We are not privy to all of the evidence and all of the information that the police and investigators gathered. So we don't really know what happened that night. Anybody can read the police report, make up their own mind of what they think happened that night. But it's just what you think. You're bringing your biases into it. You don't really know. No, none of us knows. So leaving all that aside, what you have is you have a 30-year-old midfielder who's still fairly useful, but he does bring a pretty hefty price tag at $450,000. So I think this is one of those situations where I think Jason Christ will do what he can to keep Will Johnson and potentially even, depending on how his teammates feel about him, could be captain next year, which I know is going to make some of our listeners unhappy, but I'm sorry. That's just the reality is that the man's not been convicted of anything. He's not in prison. He is a member of the club. And if they bring him back, I think he may end up being the captain. But
and prior to all that happening, he was the when Kaká was not on the field, he was the captain.
That's right.
And he did a good job at that. And on his, if you simply set aside his on the field stuff, his on the field stuff was excellent.
Yeah, when you look at Will Johnson play the way he plays, he gives you everything he has. He's not the most talented player, but he hustles, he works his butt off, he can play multiple positions.
He cares.
He can give you the occasional goal and assist, which is something sorely lacking in the midfield this year.
He can provide set piece kicks. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he does a lot of good things. So I do think he's back, but I certainly think that there's a chance. I could see a scenario where the midfield is overhauled to the point where they can't keep him at his price tag. So, again, I'm not throwing that qualifier in there. I gave you what I think will happen, and mm-hmm. we'll have to just see how it goes. But, yeah, I could see Will Johnson being on this team next year.
Yeah.
All right. That brings us up to Kyle Larin.
Wow. If you had asked me this last week, I would have said Kyle was gone. Since that time, I've had more time to think about it, and now it's one of those I'm going back and forth. If I haven't heard any rumors.
Well, here's the thing, Dave. I don't know if you, because you were driving, I don't know if you saw the news tonight about Kyle apparently has spoken to the Orlando Sentinel and said that he believes he's ready to play in Europe. He wants to play in Europe. That's where he wants to play against the best players to raise his game to the best it can be. So there was that came out just this evening as we record this on Wednesday night, the 25th of October. This is going to drop on the 26th on a Thursday, late morning on a Thursday. But I don't know if that changes your mind or not.
Well, oddly enough, that bit of news did not make it into my radio when driving from Daytona to Tallahassee. But weird. You know, you would think something that big would have made it. But, man, it was a close call before or not. All right, I'm going to – it's a long enough off season. I'm going to revert back to a week ago. I'm going to say that somebody at some point looks up and says, you know what, we've got an opportunity to try and get this guy at maybe a lower price than we would have a year ago. If Orlando's wanting to sell him for that is the other question, mm-hmm. Especially given the money that we're going to be saving now that Kaká is no longer here. So there's so many caveats with this. So, but that's not helpful in the stay or go. So I'm going to say, go. And the reason is that he wants to go, and I think somebody will come up with the price point that Orlando will take.
Yeah, I know that the club wanted somewhere in the neighborhood. It was being reported. I think Paul Tenorio had it. He wanted $5 million for him. I don't think you're going to get $5 million for him, especially after the little bit of a drop in production, although his goals and assists per 90 really hasn't dropped from last year. He just played fewer minutes, but part of the reason he played fewer minutes is because of that arrest for the DUI.
Correct.
I think the DUIs in and of themselves won't dissuade teams from wanting him, but they will probably eat into the price point. And I think that because the club now will receive 2/3 of his sale price rather than what they would have gotten before, which I think was half, I think they can take a lower amount. I think the highest they've been offered for him is 3. I don't think they'll get 3. I think they'll get 2.5 for him this offseason, and I think they will sell Kyle Larin and he won't be back.
Yeah.
Because because you said, as you said, the Kaká money will be here. The won't be going out. They'll look for another strike option to go with Dom Dwyer, a different mm-hmm. type of striker, and we will see exactly what that looks like next year.
Should be fun.
All right, 22-year-old midfielder Richie Larea.
Whew. All right. He's young. He's got potential. I don't think he's necessarily ready for MLS. I'm kind of putting him in the same category as Pierre de Silva, even though he's a little bit older in that. I think that he's back, but I think that it's in a OCB or whatever the equivalent of OCB is for next year to continue to develop.
I think Richie is back, and I think he stays with the senior squad next year. I think that he'll get more minutes from the get-go. I think he'll have a full training camp with the first team. I think he'll bulk up a little bit more. And I really liked a lot of what I saw from him on Sunday, even though you know, the team as a whole didn't play well, and there, you know, he didn't have anywhere near a perfect game. But I think you see just those glimmers of brilliance that he has. And I think if you could just tweak that a little more, he'll be going into age 23 next year. Okay. So he'll be moving into some prime years himself. I think that he's got an opportunity to stay and to make a difference next year.
Well, and if they do sit him at the gain weight table at dinner, then yeah, you might be right.
All right, let's bring up kind of a high-priced guy, kind of an older guy, Antonio Nocerino.
All right, so Noche is such a divisive player, not only with the supporters, and not only with the readers of the mainland, but also within the mainland staff.
Yes.
I personally, I like Nocerino. I think he plays hard. I think he's got heart. I think he's gives his all whenever he's out there. I also think that he won't be here.
I think he won't be here unless there's some kind of a new deal struck, because he makes far too much money for a 32-year-old midfielder. This has become a league where pace is important. Yep. It's already been a physical league, but now some of these physical guys are faster than ever. And I really think that that makes it makes for problems for guys like Nocerino. And he is he just doesn't give you enough offense to move him to, you know, he played more of an offensive attacking role down the stretch. But he doesn't really offer you a whole lot of goals and assists there. So I just don't see that as a sustainable long-term move for him. He's got to be playing the defensive side. I really, you know, I will say that I think some of the criticism of Jason Christ this year has been fair in terms of him not bending from his preferred shape. I think that this is a team that was really built with some players that are more suited for a 4-2-3-1, and when things weren't going well, you know, maybe that would have been a good option. I think you could have a Nocerino and a Higuita on the field together, and they won't get in each other's way, and they won't be it won't be one guy trying to be something he's not, and I think that would have worked better for Kaká as well. So that is the criticism that I think that was leveled at Jason this year that I think is fair, but you know, he's trying to do his thing and to create his culture here, and you know, sometimes that means mashing those square pegs into those round holes and seeing if you can't rub the edges off of them, the corners off of them, you know. So I think Nocerino is gone because of his price tag, and because I think that he's so high on Giles Barnes. Now, here's the thing, though. Alex Leitao recently said some things that made it sound like Nocerino was here next year. Now, of course, he's not the GM. He does have to sign off on all of those decisions, but I've never known a GM, or I've never known a money guy that would not sign off on selling a player that makes a great deal of money, $850,000 that you're spending on one guy. And you know, in those stretches of three games in 8 days, he can't play those three games. So
right, and this is not a knock on Nocerino's, you know, willingness or effort, right? Because I think, frankly, demonstrated his dedication and willingness to give his all every time he was on the field. Mm-hmm. But he's 32, and like you said, in a 8 day span, he's not going to be able to play three games. So
I don't think anybody's shown as much passion for this club as he has over the last year.
Exactly.
I think that Nocerino's an amazing guy. I really do. I like him a lot, and I like him as a player. I just don't think that he fits this league in this system. I think he could fit in a different system in MLS, but I don't think he fits this league as physical and fast as it is in the system that Jason Christ wants to play. So
correct.
I think he's going to be out the door, and I think that may be good for Giles Barnes. Okay, here is a 21-year-old defender named Leonardo Pereira.
Leo is gone. I know he's 21. I know he's 6 foot one, but he has every time he's been on the field, he has not shown what he needs to show to keep a position here. So, no, he's out.
All right, I'm going to surprise you here by saying he stays.
Oh man, okay.
And I know he's a lone guy, but I think he's staying. But I think that he might be more of a loan out to develop guy at age 21.
Oh, okay. All
right. He's very inexpensive, only a $53,000 price tag, so he's among the cheapest guys on the roster.
Okay.
In fact, I think that is the league minimum. I think he makes the league minimum.
Well, that's fair.
I think when you have somebody with, you know, he's got very good feet, he's good in the air, he may not have the awareness or doesn't read the game as well as he needs to yet, but that's something that could come, and I think that more seasoning might help him. And I think that I certainly expect Orlando City to bring in center backs this year.
Yes.
But I think that Pereira is a guy that you can stash and loan somewhere and, you know.
Keep the price tag low. Okay.
Say, well, you can't loan him out because he's on loan here. Well, he was on loan to OCB and got loaned here, so it's obviously doable. You know? So that's my opinion.
That's fair.
I could be wrong, but, you know, I think he's a guy that we could see. I mean, because isn't he one of those guys from Paranaense, right? He's one of the first guy from that partnership to come in.
Oh, true. I forgot that's where he was from. You're right. He is. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
I can't go back now and change. I won't do it.
All right. 26-year-old Texan midfielder Dylan Powers.
I so want him to stay and to be good just because I love the headband and and I think he wants to play hard. Oh, you know what? All right. He stays. He doesn't start. He stays. He's one of the midfield bench players that Jason keeps around.
I think he goes, and I think here's why. $325,000. That is what Dylan Powers makes. I don't think you can have that player at that price here. He doesn't strike me as a guy who's going to be used as a starter, and I don't think you throw a $325,000 player on the bench in that spot. So
I don't know. We're gonna have a lot of money to throw around.
Yeah, I think he's gonna go. But also, I don't know what his contract. Off the top of my head, I don't know what his contract situation is. So
yeah,
we'll see. Here's a guy who a lot of opinions. He's had a very snake bitten career. A 22-year-old fullback named Rafael Ramos.
Boy. Wow. All right. Yeah, this is a tough one. No, it is. Man, because this is one of the guys I want to stay in. I want him to be come out to the potential that, you know, he's shown flashes of. Mm-hmm. All right, he's 22.
He only makes $100,000. He got a raise recently.
You know what? Yeah, he stays. I mean, 22, he's shown some flashes, only makes 100. Yeah, you keep him around. Absolutely.
Man, I would love to see this kid succeed. I don't think it's going to be here. I just think that it's just once you have a reputation of a player who can't stay healthy, it's really hard to keep a guy around. And I think that that's going to be his undoing. I think he goes somewhere else, gets a change of scenery, has maybe a pretty good career, and we lament getting rid of him. But the fact is that he has not been able to stay healthy so far in his career. He's had a lot of problems with his hamstrings. So I see him going.
Okay.
Number 29 in your program, number one in your heart, Tommy Redding, a homegrown player.
Tommy Redding stays. This is a no-brainer.
20-year-old defender. I know that the club has an option on him, and so he's going to be under contract. I would think that they would like to have Tommy locked up to a longer term deal, I think. At any rate, it was nice of your dog, by the way, to make an appearance on the podcast.
Well, Murphy agrees with you, Tommy. We've got three votes on this one. Murphy says that Tommy stays.
I think Tommy's going to stay. He's a fairly inexpensive guy, and he's a very solid backup. In fact, he's a good spot starter for when you've got three games in a week. And he has done a really nice job on some of the really tough strikers in this league, like David Villa. So I think there's so much potential there. He just continues to be a liability when you play teams that are very big and very physical, because he's just not that guy. I mean, you saw him against Joseph Martinez at Atlanta, and much different than playing against David Villa, who's tiny.
Right.
So I think if you use him in the right way, I think that Tommy is a very valuable player, and we'll see how he does.
And he can continue to develop.
Yeah, and he's also capable of playing right back. So maybe if Rafael Ramos goes, maybe Tommy plays more minutes in relief of Scott Sutter or something. If Scott Sutter stays, we haven't got that far yet.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We haven't gotten that far.
All right. Everybody's favorite Rocket man, Carlos Rivas.
Oh, Carlos. Carlos, Carlos, Carlos. Ye of the hitting the Heineken sign and everything else above the crossbar. I think we say adios to Carlos.
I agree with you. I don't think that we need to give any more souvenirs to the Upper Deck fans.
As much as I'm sure they appreciate it.
He doesn't hit the Heineken sign, Dave. He clears it, which is a problem because it's on the facade between the Upper Deck and the Lower Deck. Just not seeing enough from him. He's a maddening player because when he is on his game, he looks so, so good. I think back to the Montreal game away last year when he played like a designated player, and a couple of games this year early in the year when he really gave teams problems. But, man, there are games that he checks out. He can be lazy. He continues to make the same mistakes over and over. And he's one-footed, so he can't play the right side, even though Jason played him on the right side on Sunday.
Do you think he was trying to do the opposite foot thing on that?
You know, he may have been, because I know Jason has done that before, but I don't know that he's done it in that formation.
Right.
He certainly did do that a few times last year. You'll remember in the 4-2-3-1 when he sometimes put Breck on the right side so he could come in on that powerful left foot. But I don't know in a 4-3-3 if that was the best move. That might have just been a move to see how that shape looked. And
that was the guy he had on the field.
Yeah, so I don't know. I think we've seen that Carlos doesn't either he doesn't want to be here, or he doesn't want to put in the work, or he's just not capable of being consistent. He's still just 23 years old. I still think his ceiling is probably Fabian Castillo level,
right?
But it's just not happening here, and you cannot have a designated player in this slot taken up by a guy who's not producing.
Who was on the bench quite a bit.
Yeah, exactly. So, I think Carlos is gone. There's a guy who didn't play a lot this year, Tony Rocha.
Tony Rocha.
Midfielder, can play a little bit of fullback, made $65,620.80 this year.
You know, normally if we had somebody that was making that amount of money, I'd say maybe we keep him. But I think we have other midfield options, so I think that Tony is gone.
I don't know what his contract situation is. I would tend to say he's probably gone. If he does stay, I think that would be in a loan capacity to the OCB or equivalent that the team uses for guys. But solid USL guy, just not quite to MLS standards. And I think when Jason doesn't use a guy for long stretches when his team is floundering, I think it speaks a lot about the player. So, or at least maybe not about the player, maybe just the way Jason feels about the player. Maybe just doesn't trust him or whatever. So,
or feels about the player within his system.
Right. So I think he'll move on. From Grants Pass, Oregon, Josh Saunders, the oldest member of the Florida or of the Orlando City Lions.
Who got hurt. So we've got a aging injured goalkeeper, and we have Joe Bendick, and we have up-and-coming Earl Edwards. So as good of a job as Josh did sitting behind Joe and never having to play a minute, I'm going to think that he's probably gone.
Goodbye, Josh. We hardly knew you.
We really, really hardly knew you.
Really hardly knew you. Here's one that's, I think, probably going to be our shortest discussion of the evening. Jonathan Spector.
He stays.
He stays. All right. Another goalkeeper. Another homegrown player. Mason Stajihar. And he's 19 years old, making the league minimum.
Making the league minimum. And no minutes, no nothing. But...
He's had a lot of injury problems too. Just coming back from those, and I know that the club was really high on him a couple of years ago in the Adrian Heath administration. I don't know how Jason feels about him, but I do think that there's some talent there. He's played in the U.S. youth setup, so he's a guy who's again, he's got a wealth of talent. Can he stay healthy? But he's only 19.
Well, you know, he's 19, he's homegrown, and he's making the league minimum. And we just said we're getting rid of Saunders. So, Mason stays.
I see Mason as your number one guy for OCB if there's an OCB next year.
Exactly, because Earl's going to be the backup.
Yeah. And Jake Finlayson was let go among pretty much everybody else on OCB.
Poor Finlayson.
Yeah,
he's let go. He gets picked back up for one game, and then
he got to sit on the bench for Landon's final game. That was good. He made it to the show.
Make it to the show.
Yep. So you know, some players only get one game in the show, and they don't even get to get on the field. Now that may be his fate, but at least he got there, which is a lot of players can't say. Scott Sutter from London, England.
Scott Sutter from London, England is going to stay. Scott Sutter has done a lot of good things this year on that right side. He gets forward. He puts crosses in. He defends well. There is no doubt in my mind that Scott is back next year.
Scott had the longest season of any player on Orlando City this year. He went through a full Euro season and right into MLS.
And never lost a step.
Still led this team in minutes. In 2017.
And never looked tired.
Scott was very, very good this year. Very consistent. He had as many problems as anybody else did in the final game. I mean, he lost his man on one of the headers. I think it was the Fafa Pico first goal was his man getting across in front of him. But, I think that Scott Sutter did a lot of good things, and I think he'll only get better from here on out in his second year in the league. And he's back. We're almost done here. We only got a couple left.
Yeah.
It probably seems like we've been at this for hours to our listeners, not to us. We feel like it's only been a few minutes. From Tucson, Arizona, I got kicked out of Epcot. Donnie Toya.
Well, he might have gotten kicked out of Epcot, but he's staying in Orlando City. Depending whether, what additions we make, whether he starts or not, that's up for debate, but Toya was, if not spectacular, was relatively serviceable, and had times where he was better than serviceable on the left side. So he was one of the people who was brought in to shore up that back line. So Donnie stays.
Yeah, I can only remember about two or three games where he was what I would call bad. He was anywhere from solid to very good. Mostly solid and good. A few games he was very good, and one or two games he was actually great. So I think that at his price point, which is pretty low, 100 grand, I think he stays. Again, they may try to address left back and bring in a left-sided Scott Sutter in 2018. I think that they will try to do that. But again, the reality is you're in a salary cap league.
Right.
And if you can get a starter for $100,000 and pay someone else more to come in, then you do that. So I think that, it's really a puzzle. The dealing with the salary cap is really like putting a really intricate puzzle together, because you're trying to make pieces fit. Everybody would love to have 11 superstars on the field and seven more on the bench, right? Everybody would love to have all-star caliber players at every position, but that's just not the reality. You have to have guys that make less money to make the salary cap work. And I think that when you can get a starter at fullback for 100K and put that money. Who does, you know,
a
normally
solid start.
A good job. You know, normally does a very good job.
Yeah,
you know,
most
he
of the time
hurt
when we talk about him, we don't say a lot of great things about him, but we never say a lot of negative things about him. He's there doing his job.
Yeah, he quietly does his job. He's not spectacular. He's solid. He's defensive minded first, and you know, he's
a defender, so that's good.
And he's a vast improvement over what we had there at Luke Bowden and Breck Shea. So anyway, I think he stays. And again, like you said, if they can upgrade that position, they will. But I think he'll still be on the roster. Brings us to our final contestant, Dave. And again, this is probably just about as quick as the Jonathan Spector pick. From Lima, Peru, number 20, or 27 years old, designated player, and international, Yoshimar Yotun.
Oh, we can make it quick, but I'm not going to, because I want to wax poetic about Mr. Yotun. Because he is my favorite guy that we brought in the second half of the season. He has been spectacular for Orlando City. He has provided magic and creativity and pace and just set pieces. And he has done everything and more that we could have ever hoped for from a guy that nobody had heard of. We all know his name now, and we all love Yoshi, and he is absolutely back. I'm looking forward to getting other pieces around him and Dom and whoever else, and, you know, getting Jason's midfield the way he wants it, which is obviously going to include Yoshi. And so I very emphatically and happily say that Mr. Yotun will be here next year.
He stays.
That was a good counterbalance there.
Yeah, he stays. He's really, really good. He's a really good player.
He's really good. I like him a lot.
Yeah, he may not even be a DP next year. They may be able to pull him down a little bit with his current salary is at $600,000. So they wouldn't really have to put a ton of allocation money into to buying him down. So nope. That would give them another DP slot, Dave.
Oh, the things I want to do with DP slots.
And they're already getting Kaká's DP slot, Dave, and they may be getting Carlos Rivas' DP slot, Dave. On the other hand, if they re-sign Dom, he'll be getting one of those DP slots. So.
Okay, you know what? I'm okay with that.
Yeah,
I'm okay with that.
All right, so that stays goes for another year. We should probably I would do this with the Pride, but I think everybody's back.
Well, we hope everybody's back.
Except for the three re-entry wire players, I think everybody's going to come back next year. So I'm sure there'll
be sorely disappointed.
Yeah, there'll be some movement, but we don't know what that movement will look like. It's always there's a lot more trading in it seems like in the NWSL than there is in MLS. So everybody likes to re-sign all their assets and then do trades. Seems to be like the way it works. And
I think Tom Sermani likes the people that he has. So.
I think he's got a really good core. I'm sure he would like to upgrade.
He'll want
to
add.
Yeah, but he'll need to subtract to add, because that's just the way math works when you have a 20 player roster. And I think that one of those it'd be one of those situations where he's kind of got to stand pat for a to some degree because of the fact that. He's already traded all the team's draft picks. So we'll see how it goes. I think that this is a team that certainly I think that there's an opportunity to make a trade with Aubrey Bledsoe because she's shown she can be a starter in this league. So if you have an Ashlyn Harris, it's certainly a situation where you could bring in another keeper. Not that you would want to downgrade the backup position, because we saw just how valuable Aubrey Bledsoe was this year.
Yeah, let's be very clear. We don't want Aubrey to go.
No.
But
I'm just thinking from putting on my GM hat for a minute and looking at this as these are my assets. I have somebody who might be in demand, may never get a better, you know, better deal for this player than right now. So,
well, and I was going to say, and
you might
know,
be able to really
taking
really
off my bias hat. I also want Aubrey to do well and to have opportunity.
Sure. In fact, I mean, you know, as sacrilege as it might sound to some, it really wouldn't hurt me if they found a way to move Ashlyn on and to get something good in exchange for her, because we already know Aubrey can do it.
Wow, yeah, that does border on sacrilege there, but yeah,
I know,
but you're not, you're also not wrong.
I'm going to get a lot of hate from the Ashland stands, but the fact of the matter is, if you've got two really good top quality goalkeepers, and you can only play one at a time, if you have a chance to bolster another section of your team, then sometimes you do that. And
given that, one of the arguments for Ashland would be, of course, you know, she's the captain. Well, you also have Alex Morgan and Marta on your team. So, you know.
Yeah. So here's the thing about the Pride, Dave, before we move on to our mailbag, is that, you know, there's all this talk about, well, Dom's here. Is Sydney LaRue going to come? Well, Sydney's rights are, you know, she's a federation player. She's an allocated by the U.S. Soccer Federation to FC Kansas City. If there's some kind of deal to be made to bring her here, FC Kansas City would have to be compensated in some way. And I think that with, I believe, let's see, let me just look this up real quick, because I don't want to give wrong information, because wrong information is bad and it doesn't help anybody. But, you know, any deal with FC Kansas City is going to probably involve multiple players to bring Sydney here. And I'm just thinking that, you know, when I look at FC Kansas City's roster, and I see some of what I see there, and they're a middle of the road team for this league. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not a bad team, and they're not a great team. But when you look at them, you see that they have a goalkeeper that's 36 years old in Nicole Barnhart.
They might be looking for a keeper.
So there would be probably the possibility that Aubrey Bledsoe could be involved in the deal to bring Sydney to Orlando, and I think you'd probably see someone else going there as well. Maybe a Chioma Obogagu, maybe a Jasmine Spencer. And I know people are
neither of whom that we would want to give up.
Right,
but
people are hating me for saying this, but I'm just, again, this is my GM hat. This is not my fan hat. This is me thinking out to say, what would I need to do to bring Sydney LaRue here? This is probably what it's going to take. And then some people are like, well, we don't need her. It's the, you know, we don't have to risk giving up these players. And you're right. You know, striker's not a big need on this team, but players get hurt. And if Alex went down, wouldn't you like to have a Sydney LaRue, to take that load?
Or, you know, if you change formation, wouldn't you like to have both of them up top?
Yeah. And plus, you got to remember, we're not going to have Camilla for a few months.
Ooh, good point.
So it's, you know, it's, there needs to be more attacking,
presence.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. I'm just thinking outside the box there and thinking out loud and seeing what could happen. But we'll know a lot more, you know, when the season gets a little closer.
See, listeners, what Michael is doing is he's prepping you for the off-season stuff where we get to speculate because we don't have anything.
Speculating's fun, but we don't just throw crap out there.
No, we don't.
We do report on and talk about what's in the news. So, speaking of which, we'll talk about stuff that other people have put out there, and that is our Mainland Podcast mailbag. I only have one question, Dave, in the Twitters this week.
I got one for you, too.
I have two, but one of them I don't think is all that serious. At least I hope it's not. But anyway.
all right, then we absolutely have to do it.
Yeah. So, it's cool. So here we go. Oh, by the way, you can email us your question at themainland@gmail.com, or the more common way to do that is to hit us up on Twitter. We are at themainland on Twitter, and hit us up with the AskTMLPC hashtag and ask your question. So we have a question from our own Nick Leyva, our photographer, and he wants to know if he can get a raise next year. Dave, so I already responded.
Wait, can I answer?
Well, yes, you can.
Yes, Nick, you can. You simply have to be the winner of the Staff of the Month guy, and then you get a raise.
Staff Member of the Month, that's right. I replied offline to Nick that we're going to double his salary.
That is so generous.
It is very generous.
Would you like to tell everybody what his salary is currently?
He doesn't have a salary.
So he's getting twice of nothing.
Yes. So,
he's getting the exact same amount that I am.
I'm feeling generous. I'll tell you what, Nick, I'll triple it. Very generous. We have no money. We don't have a budget. We don't have anything. We're just guys that like soccer.
We really are. Look, people, I don't get paid to do this as much as I'd like to say that I do. I don't, which is fair. I mean, you know, what you're getting is probably worth what I get paid, but, you know, still.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So thanks for your question, Nick Leiva. We appreciate it. I hope he listens to the podcast.
Okay. If any staff members are not listening to the podcast, then we need to have a meeting.
We tried to have a meeting and we had a hurricane instead.
That's true.
We had a staff meeting and it was scheduled, and then the stupid hurricane came through. We had to cancel it. Anyway, RJ Allen on Twitter at Captain Woso, very fine women's soccer writer, would like to know which Pride player will get the most benefit from off-season play in another league. Dave.
Ooh, Rachel Hill. Young Rachel Hill going to go over play in Australia, and she will get the most benefit.
I couldn't agree more. I think it's great for her to get minutes. I thought that Rachel Hill was a player who at times you would never know she was a rookie. I mean, we had that one game where she had two goals in the first 10 minutes of the game. It really had just came so close to getting a hat trick a few times in that game. Really good player, good nose for the net. She scored some big goals. She had the game winner at Sky Blue, and in that dramatic comeback win, and that was almost a dramatic comeback loss, and then it turned into a dramatic comeback win. And Rachel Hill, I think, is going to be getting the benefit of this level of competition. I'm really looking forward to seeing what Rachel Hill brings to Orlando Pride in year two, now that she's had a good look at this league. And a little bit of experience under her belt. It started out, what's really amazing about Rachel Hill, Dave, is how she didn't really arrive on time. Like she went through camp and then she went back to school to finish college.
Yeah.
And then she came back after the college year was over, and you know, the team had already been playing for a couple months. So, she picked it up very quickly, and she's obviously a talented player. And I think she's going to be worth the draft pick that Orlando sent to Portland for her rights.
And getting that time over in Australia and then coming back, all that time on the field is going to be invaluable. No, I'm not kidding.
I know.
We saw it with, you know, I mean, we lamented Alex going, you know, over to Lyon. But when she came back, she was on fire.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's only good things for Rachel getting to play abroad, get more time, and it's only going to benefit the Pride.
Yeah. So thanks, RJ Allen, for the question. I met RJ at the NWSL Championship game.
Oh, cool.
It was nice to meet her. She you can read her stuff at Backline Soccer on the EIC podcast, on Scouting Podcast and 123rd Minute. She's a member of the NWSL. Media group, so you know, very accomplished. It was nice to see her again at the championship game. You have a question from Mark Johnson, you said?
We've got a three-parter that is going to have.
Oh wow!
Yes, well, you know, Mark Johnson, friend of the podcast, and he likes to challenge us. Okay, part one: do we sell Kyle Aaron?
All right, we've talked about this.
We did talk about this.
A little bit about this. We both think that he'll get sold.
Okay. So now, once Kyle gets sold, can we swing Giovinco?
Sebastian Giovinco?
Yes. He wants to know if we can steal him from Toronto.
I think he already has an MLS team. I don't think that they want to get rid of him. I think they're very happy with him.
I agree with you, but I don't blame him for wanting him.
Can we? Yeah, but you're probably going to have to give up everything worth anything to get him. So,
probably not
realistic. Yeah, I don't see that happening. So,
and he realizes that. It was more of a, you know, hey, could we?
Okay.
All right. So, last part. So do we need a big striker or attacking midfielder to complement Dom Dwyer?
Yes. My answer is yes. Here's that's the short version. The long version.
Short version. Let's go to the long version.
The long version is they're going to need to bring somebody in on the right side that complements Yoshimar Yotun, somebody who can play that same style, and that would enable you to keep a Giles Barnes in that number 10 role, and then you could keep, you know, if you get that guy on the right side, that's just as good on the right side as Yotun is on the left.
Yep.
Yeah, I think they definitely need an attacking right side player in the midfield. But they also need a striker. But, you know, I think that he gave that qualifier, and I'm not sure if that qualifier came from you or from the question. Said big striker?
He said big. No, this was not from me. This was from him. Big striker.
Okay. I don't think it needs to be a big striker. I think it could be. In fact, I think you've seen any number of, like, mighty mites in this league.
Hence Giovinco. Yeah,
Giovinco, David Villa, Dom Dwyer is not a tall dude.
Almiron.
You know, I think that it doesn't have to be a big target guy. In fact, I don't think a big target guy is what this offense really needs.
No.
I think it needs guys who are better at reading their teammates and are willing to get into the box. One of the things that I said, and let me go back. I want to find this tweet because I really need to be accurate with this tweet that I sent out during the game because it needs to be read exactly as I said it.
and for those of you who weren't following Michael during the game, you should have. And we told you to do it prior to the game. I mean, he warned you that it was going to happen, and some of it was depressing, just as the game was.
Yeah, I did the play-by-play this week. Gavin.
No, you didn't do the play-by-play.
I didn't do the mainland. I did my mainland Michael Twitter.
Yes, right. I'm sorry. If you weren't following the mainland Michael one, which I do. Yep. And so that was the much funnier one.
yeah, so I can get a little bit more outside of the norm on that one. You know.
Well, sure. That's more of a – it's a semi-professional rather than the official – yeah, website one.
Exactly. So, my computer's being stupid, so I'm going to pull it up on my phone because screw computers, they're dumb. Computers and technology and all that fun stuff. But yeah, it was a game that...
Old man on a podcast, growling at technology.
Yes, old man yells at cloud, exactly. Old man yells at cloud. All right, so I go back into my profile from Mainland Michael from during the game because I need to vent a little bit, and it can only do so much. Where is it? Okay? Here it is. Here's my tweet that I had at 4:57 p.m. So 57 minutes into the game, roughly, more or less. one fucking guy in the box, and Giles Barnes stood there and waited. God damn it. That was my tweet, because the only person that went into the box while Giles Barnes stood with the ball on the left side was Dom Dwyer. No one else ran in there. No one. Not one player. And he was on the ball a good few seconds. And no one came to help the man.
Okay, so since you already went there, and we're going to have to put the not safe for work tag on this podcast, since you one fucking guy, well, that was Dom fucking Dwyer, yeah. So obviously that was the one that was going to be there. So
obviously, I was all kinds of upset about that because it was one of those slow buildups that you could kind of see. Now Giles had the ball out left, he beat like a guy, and then he cut inside another guy, and as he dribbled toward the box, he looked up. And there's like six Union players and Dom Dwyer. Like, I don't even think you could see that Dom Dwyer was in there because he's short and he was behind all defenders. And no one else. And that's when I said, I will help Carlos Rivas pack. I'm just that nice of a guy. I had enough at that point. I'm like, how do you not give the man some options?
Yeah, you actually, and just so everybody knows, he did actually tweet that later. He said, "I will personally help Carlos Rivas pack. I'm just a helpful guy."
I did. Yeah.
That was tweeted very shortly after that. Yeah.
So, that was very frustrating for me. But yeah, I think that if you don't need to get a target striker, a big, you know, the big Romelu Lukaku type guy, or the Didier Drogba in his prime, you know, big beefy kind of barrel chested. Guy who will overpower you. I don't think you need that for this team. I think
just get somebody that's going to get in the freaking box.
This team needs guys that can get in the box and combine with other players right around the top of the area. Watch Atlanta play. That's what this team needs.
Yeah.
Those guys are interchangeable. You could put any of those guys, almost any of them, in any position in the attack. And they move around a lot. So I know it's true. And they just play so well off of each other. And that's what this team needs. Guys that can play well off of each other and that are willing to go forward, willing to get in the box, willing to strike the ball on frame. And that's what this team needs. It doesn't need to be a big burly striker like a Jozy Altidore. Although I would gladly take Jozy Altidore on this team. Don't get me wrong. Because sure, he gives you a little bit of everything. He gives you set pieces. He gives you size and power. He's not a bad passer of the ball.
He gives you somebody that gets fouled and doesn't get called for.
Exactly. He gives you free penalties.
Yeah.
Although I have a feeling if he put on a purple uniform,
he
wouldn't get those calls anymore.
No, he would not.
I know.
No,
people hate when I play the woe is me, the refs hate us card.
Is the evidence.
All I have is 3 years of three years of evidence at my disposal. So,
that's going to be an article in the offseason. I'm going to do the research.
All right. So, is that all of Mark's questions?
That is. It was one question, but it was three parts, and you're done.
Okay. Well, I'm going to tear him into three parts if he keeps up that kind of questioning.
He doesn't usually.
No, I'm kidding. We love Mark, not just because he reminds me of my favorite member of the 1980 Olympic hockey team. But,
which he does.
Yes, which he does because he has the same name. But no, he asks good questions, and he's a faithful listener, and we like that. So that does it for the mailbag then, Dave.
Sweet.
All right, so thank you, everyone who wrote in. Thank you for your emails and your tweets. Again, you can hit us up on Twitter, at the mainland. With the hashtag AskTMLPC, or you can email us at themainland@gmail.com. That's where you can get us on the old emails. So that will do it for that. Dave, we are going to go to the monthly schedule, so we'll be back in November. We'll talk about the friendly. We'll talk about any off-season contract news that might come up. We'll talk about transfer rumors. We'll talk about any news that comes out about the club's plans for OCB or what to do in the USL next year. Any pride news, we'll have stuff to talk about, because that's the beauty of going to the monthly schedule in the off season, is that, the news doesn't come fast and furious like it does in season, but then you still have a nice full show.
Okay. Yeah. But you and I are going to still talk every week, right?
Yeah. I'll see you on Slack even later tonight, probably.
Okay.
You probably go to bed, actually, because you had a long drive.
A long drive.
I got to put this.
And you still got to put this together. To bed. Yeah.
All right. So that, I think, is going to do it, Dave, for episode number 109 of the Mainland Podcast.
The last of the 2017 season.
Yeah, the last. That's our regular season finale, and we'll probably also talk quite a bit about the MLS playoffs when we reconvene. In November, and with games going on tonight as we record this, and then again Thursday as after this drops, there's plenty going on in Major League Soccer, and in the meantime, we'll hope for Miguel Almiron to get sold to a team in Europe. And by the way, the Red Bulls, as we speak, have a 4-0 lead over the Chicago Fire on the road.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say they win
in the
that
88th
one.
Minute. Yeah, I don't see the Fire coming back from that. So I had this weird feeling earlier today that the Red Bulls are kind of one of those teams laying in the weeds. Didn't have a great regular season, but could kind of create a buzz and go deep in the playoffs.
Okay, just so people don't think that he's blowing smoke because he just told you to score, in our internal chat board, he actually hours ago did say that.
Yeah, I say things a lot. Sometimes they're even right.
This time he might be right, folks. That's all I'm saying.
I did feel like that they just seemed like one of those teams like that just underachieved all year, and that might put it all together at the right time. So we'll see. They also had a nice run in the U.S. Open Cup, so maybe they're just built for that type of an environment, but. That's not good for Dax McCarty. He's not getting his revenge on the Red Bulls.
Oh, well.
All right, Dave. Let's let everybody go. Let's let them go off and think about this season, or drink away this season, whatever they like to do, and forget about it. And we'll come back in November. We'll have a fresh look, fresh start, and hopefully a really great guest Now that we've gone back to back for the first time this year with no guest, but the stays goes thing always takes a long time. So I didn't want to have a guest and have a super huge podcast. So anyway, thanks as always, Dave, you've been a great co-host.
And thank you, sir.
We would appreciate it if you go on to our lovely website at themainland.com, because we have a lot of content that we would like you to read, because we write it and it takes a long time sometimes.
And we don't get paid for it, damn it.
That's right. We're doing this for you, and because we just
and we like doing it. We really
do like doing it, and we're kind of a glutton for punishment and that kind of thing. So mainland.com, you can like us on Facebook. We have a Facebook page, and you can also follow us on Twitter at the Mainland, as I've mentioned a few times in this here podcast. And please go on iTunes and leave us a nice 5-star review. And we would love to have that. And we will read your 5-star reviews on the air. And, if you happen to leave them. But this is how we can increase our reach. If you like what you hear, it's a way that you can get our, get us up in the bump, a little bit of a bump in the rate, the rankings. And we can hopefully reach more people's eyeballs and that kind of thing. So I'm actually looking right now to see if we got any from the last one. Our last one came in, and it was October 4th, was from that David DDD0218 guy. So no new ones, but when we come back in November, I'm hoping that some of you leave us a 5-star rating and write a review so that we can read it on the air. So anyway, that's going to do it for episode 109. I will sign off on behalf of David Rowe. I am Michael Citro, the founder and managing editor of themainland.com, signing off by saying go off-season.